الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درش بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, we got to as far as the rebels laying a siege to the city of Madinatul Munawwara, and in fact even the residence of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anha. And in the last two sessions I had explained the reason why the hypocrites, the enemies of Islam, usually wish to target the companions, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. What is their agenda, their motive, the purpose for demonizing the character of these great blessed souls which we know as to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was explained, but just to add on a few points, as Muslims we need to understand that behind the curtains, the wire pullers is the shaitan, the wire pullers are the shayateen. And the shayateen throughout the period of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in fact from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until today, have always managed to raise an army of people to attack the honor of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, be it in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam or be it in the year 2000. This is what shaitan wants. The shaitan wants to cast the seeds of doubt in the hearts and the minds of people about these great individuals, blessed souls, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. So that when a man reads about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, that the mind is blank, that he does not know how to judge these great individuals, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, that you have wobbly feet when you talk about the companions. This is the purpose, this is the maqsad. That if the shaitan can promote Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in aliyazu billah to be doubtful individuals, this would ultimately mean that every ruling of Sharia is subject to doubt. If the companions can be proven to be doubtful individuals, as people who were untrustworthy aliyazu billah, that would mean the verses of the Quran that is in front of us, the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's a possibility someone might say that this is unauthentic. Why? Because the character of the Sahabi is not well. And so this is what the shaitan does. It wants to distort the picture, the image of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. You have one very beautiful picture in a frame, and it is very, very beautiful. But if you start making it ugly, that beautiful picture, and then show it to people, obviously that is what information, this is with the eyes, what the people will say, and they will say, well, this picture is very ugly. And so you will always find people talking against the companions. And these are the people who are actually linked with the first hypocrites of Madinatul Munawwara. So we need to understand that. One hadith that comes to mind, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that one alim of my ummah is a greater challenge to the shaitan than 1,000 worshippers of my ummah. What did he say? One alim of my ummah is a greater challenge to the shaitan than 1,000 abideen, worshippers. Those that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ardent worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1,000 on one side, it is easy for the shaitan to mislead 1,000. Why? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. The engine is ilm. The engine is ilm. And that is why the very first verse revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. What is Iqra? Seek knowledge. Knowledge with sincerity. And so to, obviously, shaitan does attack an alim, but to mislead 1,000 worshippers is easy than one alim. Now imagine if it is painful for shaitan to attack one alim, how painful it must be for the shaitan to see the Muslimin honor the companions. Or how difficult it must be for the shaitan to digest when the Muslimin have honor and respect for Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in. Where is that one alim as compared to a great Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if an alim is a greater threat and challenge to a shaitan than 1,000 worshippers, then imagine the rank and the status of a Sahabi. And that is why, even in the year 2009, you will find modernists, you will find people who have no knowledge of the Sharia, no knowledge of the Quran, no knowledge of the Arabic language. When I say Arabic, it's not about كيف الحال, كيف أنت, ما شاء الله, بارك الله, تبارك الله. That's not Arabic. Subhanallah. Proper knowledge, you know, with the laws, the grammar of the Arabic language. You will find that the shaitan will attack first the learned scholars of this ummah. First the shaitan attacks the learned scholars of this ummah. So you'll find people to say, oh, who is Imam Abu Hanifa? Did he know the Arabic language? Who is Imam Shafi? Who is Imam Malik? Oh, you don't need to follow any fiqh. And then generally you'll find scholars, even contemporary scholars. You'll find people very easily backbite about ulama. That's why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh would have a bag of gold coins. Every week, somebody would say, Hazrat, you know that person has been talking bad about you. He says, which man? That man is okay. Hazrat would go and knock at his door and says, Salaamu alaykum, I just want to give you a bag of gold coins. Why? He says, you see, mashallah, you're so generous. You've been backbiting. That means your reward of Hajj and Umrah, you've given it to me. Your recitation of the Quran automatically is transferred to me. How can I repay you? I can only give you dunya. So take this dunya. Take this dunya. Ajeeb, subhanallah. These way. So you'll find people very easily backbite the scholars. Very easily. And this is the agenda of the shaitan. So first you attack the learned scholars of this ummah. And this attack goes all the way up to the companions. Where does it go? All the way up to the companions. So first you punch the ulama, and then it goes up, up, up to the fuqaha, to the muhaddiseen, to the mufassireen, and all the way until it touches sahaba-e kiram ajma'in. And this is the extreme level. You see, the extreme level is to go against a sahabi. This is a true extremist. When a person dislikes, aliyazu billah, a sahabi. And that is why, my respected brothers, don't think that this 25 minutes, 30 minutes that you sit here is just something that you come, sit, listen and go back. you know, just a formality that we need to fulfill. No, wallahi lazim, I'm in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These 25 minutes, 30 minutes is strengthening your iman. By the day, it will strengthen your iman. It will strengthen the foundation of your iman. That is why, my respected brothers, you will find that it is very painful for the shaitan to sit in a majlis where there is dars of hadith, dars of Quran. Never miss that opportunity. Never ever miss an opportunity, my respected brothers. Subhanallah, we are, by the mercy of Allah, blessed in Leicester. There's a great blessing upon the Muslims of Leicester. We have so many scholars. Never miss a Jummah lecture. Never miss Darse Quran. Never miss Darse Hadith. Wallahi, this will only strengthen your iman. In fact, these lectures will come in handy even at the time of death. Because that will be the greatest fight with the shaitan. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who was he? Khadim of the ulama. What was he? Subhanallah. At the time of death, breathing his last, the shaitan came to him and said, Ahmad, renounce your faith, your kalima, la ilaha illallah. Ahmad, listen to me, that if you turn away from your faith, you have a better future in the hereafter. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, la. What did he say? La. Now, this was a ploy of shaitan. Shaitan knew that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was not going to give in. And so what did he say? He says, Ahmad, it looks like you have slipped away from my hands. It looks like you have slipped away from me. Slipped away from me. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, subhanallah, great faqih and alim, said, la hawla wa la quwwata. O shaitan, I have not slipped away from you. I have not slipped away from you. I am not safe from you until I depart from this dunya with iman. I am not safe from you until I depart from this dunya with iman. That is the difference, my respected brothers. Knowledge is like headlights. It will protect you. It is noor. It is noor. So mashallah, sit and listen. And especially these great warriors. Subhanallah, these great legends, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. We can't take time out for Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. Subhanallah, this beautiful series that we are covering. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an, as we come to the end of Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala an, and we begin Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Take time out, my respected brothers. Don't take this to be just another gathering. It's not another gathering. It is not a Tom, Dick and Harry lecturing you. MashaAllah, you have qualified people sitting in front of you who do the works, who take out everything, subhanAllah. For the durus, we have to read for 7 days. Different books. Making sure that it is authentic, making sure it is the right information that you are giving in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all you need to do is eat and digest it. All you need to do is eat and digest it. Inshallah, karenge bhai? Come along, inshallah ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about a man whose name was Juraij. His name was not George. Umar, you've been away a few sessions. Not George, but Juraij. Kya naam tha? Juraij. Juraij was a pious man of Banu Israel. A pious man of Banu Israel. Now in those days when a man wanted to give his life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make his life waqf for Allah, and these were people who were known as the Sufis of the time of Banu Israel. What they would do is that they would seclude themselves far away from people in the jungle and make for themselves a simple dwelling, a hut, and they would stay in that hut, and day and night they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Banu Israel, this was something that was quite common. So you had Juraij, who was a famous worshipper, an abid. He was not an alim. And so this is what he decided. He said, enough is enough. I want to get out in the jungle, build for himself a simple hut, and in the day, in the night, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the qiyam, bas some simple food daily for him to eat, and that is it. Otherwise he was engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues in the hadith and says that the mother of Juraij went out looking for Juraij, the son. Someone said to her that your son Juraij is far away in the jungle in that side, and if you want to go and see him, you have to climb the hill. So with the direction, the mother starts walking, and she looks at a hut that was up the hill and notices that it is my son Juraij, and she could only see the back portion of Juraij. He was standing in Qiyam worshipping Allah. And so she started shouting out, Ya Juraij, Ya Juraij, O my son Juraij, it's your mother calling you, come down. O Juraij, come down, it's your mother calling. Now Juraij says that I could hear the voice of my mother in Salah, but I did not know what to do. Do I continue in my Salah or do I respond to the call of my mother? What do I do? Juraij decided that he will continue in his Salah. So the mother looked and she walked off again. She went back. And Juraij continued in the Salah. Second day the mother came again to go and visit the son Juraij. And notice again that Juraij is in Salah. And again she said, Juraij, come, come. Ya Juraij, come. Your mother is calling you. Juraij, come. Your mother is calling you. Juraij again is thinking in his Salah, what do I do? Should I continue or should I go to my mother? Juraij decided it's better for me to continue. Why? It's a connection with Allah. And that is a greater connection. The mother went. The third day again, the mother said, Juraij, oh my son, I'm here. Listen to me. Again, Juraij is saying, what do I do? And he feels that the strongest connection is the connection of Allah. And so he continued in his Salah. But now the mother got angry. And the mother looked at Juraij and said that, Ya Allah, don't give death to my son Juraij until he sees the face of an immoral lady, a prostitute. Don't give him death until he sees the face of an immoral lady. And this is the baddu'a, the curse of the mother, which was accepted. Allahu Akbar. After a few months, it is said that in the city there was a lady, she was well known for her beauty and charm. And that she would even trap even the strong-hearted individuals. She would beguile anyone with her charm and her beauty. And a group of people came to her and said, Oho, wahwa, you are extremely beautiful. You are extremely beautiful. And we acknowledge the fact that you can melt the hearts of many men. But we want to put up a challenge to you. There's one man who you will never conquer. You will never conquer his heart. And that is Juraij. And that is Juraij. So you have this young lady, very beautiful, very charming. And of course, for a lady, you know, her charm and her beauty is everything to her. Her charm and beauty is everything to her. And so she took up the challenge. And she says, okay, I will make sure that he falls on his knees when he sees me. And how much money will you give me? And so the group said, oh, we will make you rich. We will give you a lot of wealth. But let us see what you can do. And this was a challenge that she took up. And Juraij was in his hut praying Salah. So a group of people went, and this lady also went wearing skimpy clothes, you know. And she got to the hut of Juraij, and in this very charismatic tone, in a sweet tone, she says, Oh Juraij, why don't you turn and look at me? Why don't you turn your face and look at me? There is no one here. It's only the two of us. It is said that Juraij was a true wali. He was a true wali. He did not even blink at her. He did not even blink towards her. That is why the ulama have said that the true power of a a believer, a Muslim, is a man who has the full control of his eyes. Any man who has control of his eyes, he is the wali of Allah. In the year 2009, never mind your hands, never mind your tongue. Oh, alhamdulillah, our tongue is important. Huh? We're not competing with the tongue. The tongue, again, we have to make sure you control it. But the eyes, any man who can control the eyes will save himself from zina, will save himself from a lot of sins. And this is what shaitan does. That is why Hakim Akhtar Saab from Karachi, you'll find a lot of his lectures that he gives are based on this. And he would say that, why do you want to give your life to these hura'eens of this dunya? To these hura'eens of this dunya. Why are you after these hura'een of this dunya when you have the hura'een of the hereafter, which is in Jannah? So a man who controls the eyes, he's a powerful man. He's a very strong man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq. And Shaykh Zulfiqar, Maddazillahu al-Ali, would say that if a woman came in front of you and the shaitan says, look at that woman, she's a beautiful lady. At that time, if you took control of yourself and you lowered your gaze and you looked down, Shaykh Zulfiqar would say, at that time, immediately lift up your hands and make dua to Allah. Your dua with guarantee will be accepted. Your dua with guarantee will be accepted. Because this is not an easy task. This is the most difficult challenge that comes to the men folks. Because the men are hungry hippos. The men are hungry hippos. The mouth is always open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us. And this is great fitna, great fitna. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I don't fear my ummah that they will start worshipping the idols. But what I fear is in two things. They will start to love dunya and they will fall prey to the trap of women. That the women will trap the ummah, my ummah, the men of my ummah. Allahu Akbar. And so Juraij was in full control. He did not even blink towards her and he continued in the salah. And she knew that it's going to be difficult to challenge Juraij. But the curse of a woman is a very evil curse. In the kaida kunna azim, the Quran says. She didn't want to give up that easily. So what she did is that she got out from the hut. And there was a shepherd there. Eventually she gave herself to that shepherd. And after a few months she was pregnant. She gave birth to a child, a baby. Now she went back to the city. And there you see this very famous, beautiful, charming woman with a baby. People were saying, oh, whose baby is this? Who's the father? Who's the father? Why, who's the father? And she said, the father is Juraij. What did she say? The father is? That wali in the hut is the father. Now when slowly the rumors were spreading, people got angry. They said, this guy is another charlatan. It's another dhokebaze, right? Let's go and attack him. And without thinking, they demolished the hut and broke everything and pushed him and grabbed him. Say, huh? You call yourself a great Sufi and a great friend of Allah. Look what you do. You've got this lady pregnant and illicit relationship. What is this? He says, what's happening? He says, this is your baby. And he says, my baby? I haven't had no relationship with a woman. I'm not even married. He says, no, this is your baby. Now, because he was a wali of Allah, Allah had also accepted the dua of the mother because of his response. What he did is that he put the hands on the forehead of that child and said, oh my son, tell the truth that who is your father? Who is your father? Ya Bunayya in Arabic means, oh my child, oh my son, in respect. So tell me, who is your father? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are only a few babes who have spoken when they were only a few days old in this dunya. And one of them was in the incident of Juraij, this baby. And so this baby started saying that my father is the shepherd, not Juraij. My father is the shepherd, not. Only then they realized that Juraij is the wali of Allah. And they came and they said, oh Hazrat, we will you know, rebuild for you your huts in gold and silver, forgive us. Juraij said, no, it's fine. Again, just the reason why I have mentioned this story, which is also in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a true event, a true story. Ulama have mentioned that if Juraij was an alim or a man who understood fiqh or a man who understood knowledge, he was an ardent worshipper of Allah, but he was not a man who was well versed in ilm. Because if he had ilm, he would have said labbaik to the mother. He would have said labbaik to the mother, and by saying labbaik to the mother, this was the right decision. Especially if you're in your optional prayers, in your nawafil, you should say labbaik to your mother first. He would have saved himself from this humiliation. And so that is why I'm saying, my respected brothers, the 25 minutes, 30 minutes that we are sitting here, we are not wasting time. Wallahi, it is strengthening your iman. It is strengthening your iman, and it is, mashallah, making sure that the foundation of your iman is such that the shaitan cannot shake it at any time in your life, even at the time of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the true lovers of Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in, and in fact become blind in their love. Become blind in their love. Be positive about Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in at all times. Going back to the story, to the incident of what's happening in Madinatul Munawwara, brothers will remember that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was the first man to offer help to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said that Amirul Mu'mineen, 500 mujahideen are already ready and waiting for your answer. If you say labbaik, if you say yes to us, we will fight the rebels. But Hazrat Uthman said no to him. Another sahabi is Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala an. What's his name? Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Mughira ibn Shu'bah was given permission to go and visit Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an in his residence. And he went and he said to the Khalifa, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, that I have a proposal which I wish to make in front of you. I see that you only have three options. In my opinion, three options are the best options for you, and choose one. The first option is, now Mughira ibn Shu'bah is a very senior sahabi. He said, the first option is, and according to me it is the best option, that we wage jihad against the rebels and fight the rebels in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. This is the first option. And the second option is that secretly we take you out from your house and make a safe passage for you to the city of Makkah. And in Makkah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was very safe. The tribe of Banu Umayyah had settled there. These were the families of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And remember, this was the time of Hajj. The people in Makkah had no idea what was happening in Madinatul Munawwara. And Madinatul Munawwara was virtually empty because all of the people were waiting that Hazrat Uthman will come at the end, and all of them had already put on the ihram and were going towards the city of Makkah. It was time for Hajj. And intentionally this was their timing for the rebels to get there, so that they pretend that we are here, aliyazu billah, just to perform Hajj, and we are sincere, but the intention was otherwise, to take out Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And then the third option, Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah said, if you don't wish to go to Makkah, then another option would be is that we take you to Syria. And in Syria, you have Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And Amir Muawiyah had the most powerful army at that time. All of the mujahideen and the soldiers were with Hazrat Amir Muawiyah in Syria. He was the man who was looking after all the jihadi expedition events at that time in the Islamic Khilafat. And so if you go to Syria, nothing will happen to you. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and looked at Mughira ibn Shu'bah and said, Mughira, you want me to spill blood in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, in the haram of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Don't you know that they are after only one man, and that is Uthman? They are after one man, and that is Uthman. Because of Uthman, I give permission that you defend me, and there will be so many innocent believers and companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, possibly they will give their life in defending me. And this I cannot accept, especially not in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. And so he said to Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah that there will be no one lifting up the sword in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. No jihad, no jihad. Whatever Allah wills will happen. And then he said that you are giving me the option to go to Makkah or to Syria. Do you seriously want me to depart from the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And he said to Mughira, Mughira, it is more painful for me to leave the city of Madinatul Munawwara than to accept martyrdom. This would be more difficult for me. I will shut my eyes and accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't advise me to leave the haram. And I'm very, very close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I have been looking at some of the books of tariq, and I'm trying to actually find the house of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. And if I can get that picture, inshallah ta'ala, maybe in the next few sessions, if I can get hold of the house of Hazrat Usman. He had many houses. Hazrat Usman radiallahu, he had a house in Mina, he had a house in Syria, he had a house in Makkatul Mukarramah, in Taif. Remember, according to one narration, he was born in Taif. And remember, we've also covered that entire section of Jannatul Baqi, the lower section of Jannatul Baqi, that entire plot was the plot of Hazrat Uthman. In fact, where Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and is buried today is his own plot. Where he is buried today is his own plot. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and's house was very, very close to Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said that I will not leave the haram, Madinatul Munawwara. There was another sahabi who became very emotional. His name was Abdullah ibn Zubair. The rebels were not allowing him to enter the house of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. He pushed himself into the house of Hazrat Usman with a few companions, and he met up with Hazrat Usman and he started crying. This is a senior sahabi crying in front of Hazrat Usman and saying to Hazrat Usman, he says, Wallahi, I have studied the Quran and I have read the Quran, and I can assure you that after reading the Quran, Allah is giving you permission to fight and to wage jihad against these rebels. I am telling you, Abdullah ibn Zubair. And he started reading the verses of the Quran, and he says, Amirul Mu'mineen, don't you know where Allah says that there are so many small groups that can defeat a massive army? And this has happened. And we are a few in numbers, but inshallah, by the permission of Allah, we will defeat the rebels that have come from Egypt, Kufa and Basra. And he was very, very emotional and he was crying. He says, Amirul Mu'mineen, just say yes, because it is farz to do ita'at, to obey the Amir. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala again saying to Abdullah ibn Zubair, calm yourself and take control of yourself. And said to Abdullah ibn Zubair that, you know, I will not allow anyone to take up the sword in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. No one should unsheath their swords. This was the message of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Zubair even went back. Now the Ansari companions, remember you had the Ansar in Madinatul Munawwara. Ansar that were even living on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, they came in groups and their leader was Ka'b ibn Malik. So all of the Ansari companions came and they said to Hazrat Uthman, they were at the doorstep with a group of all the Ansari companions. And Ka'b ibn Malik said, Amirul Mu'mineen, look at all the Ansar here. And all the Ansar that you see are prepared to defend you, and we will fight. We will fight. Hazrat Ali has got 500 Mujahideen. All of these Ansar are here, and we know that you are in the right position as a Khalifa, and we accept whatever you say. And again, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and said, Jazakallah, Barakallah, may Allah give you mercy. And he said to Ka'b ibn Malik, fighting and spilling blood in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, this I will not accept. He just did not want to fight. Allahu Akbar. What a man. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi says Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an is a model for the people, a man who took control of himself. A man who took control of himself and a man who had a choice. But yet, in respect of the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi had said, whatever happens to you, Uthman, be patient and do sabr. Be patient and do sabr. And this is what he was doing. Because he had the knowledge of the hadith. Finally, what the companions decided, that the only option we have in Medina is someone who is the most beloved to Hazrat Uthman. Someone who is very close to Hazrat Uthman. And that is Hazrat Hassan. Who is he? Hassan. And who is Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala? The grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Ali. This propaganda that you hear, Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Uthman, and Hazrat Ali didn't like Hazrat Uthman, Ahl al-Bayt didn't like Hazrat Uthman. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Hazrat Hassan was so fond of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, that Hazrat Hassan would enter the house of Hazrat Uthman freely, without taking permission. And the companion said that, ask Hassan to convince Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. When Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an came, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an saw him, Hazrat Hassan actually unsheathed the sword and said, this is what I have come to you for, Amirul Mu'mineen, give me permission for this. Give me permission for this. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an stood up, and Hazrat Uthman kissed Hazrat Hassan and said, Hassan, oh, you are making life difficult for this old man. You are making life difficult for this old man. And said, I will never able to justify the shedding of your blood if something was to happen to you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If something was to happen to you, what face will Uthman show to Allah and his Rasul? And said, oh, put this sword away, Hassan, no. Not you. Out of all the people, not you. Not you. I can sacrifice all my children, but not Hassan. But not Hassan. You are the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the son of someone who's very close to me, Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And even the great faqih and the great scholar, Hazrat Abu Huraira, who is not actually known for jihad, he was a great alim. Hazrat Abu Huraira had also taken his sword out, and he was in the room with Hazrat Hassan, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Hazrat Abu Huraira. And Hazrat Abu Huraira said, Amirul Mu'mineen, and he said, he was a great muhaddith, of course, a man who would narrate a lot of hadith. And they tried everything to convince. Ayats of the Quran, hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say yes for jihad, and we will take on these rebels. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and said to Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira, tell me, would you be happy if all the people of Medina were killed, including myself? And Hazrat Abu Huraira said, no. He said, don't you know that the killing of one Muslim is like killing all of humanity? It's like killing all of humanity. I will not fight. Allahu Akbar. One after another, the companions came, but Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and shut the door, no fighting. Nothing will happen, no one will shed blood, no blood will spill in the haram of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever happens will happen by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next session we will talk about the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their attitude towards Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. Wa akhiru da'wana أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.